Hi, my name is Marvin. Whether this is your first time watching or you tune in every week, we want to say thank you for joining us today in our online service. We are a multi-generational, multi-ethnic church that is committed to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, both in word and action, in our city and the world around us. If you're searching for a home church or looking to get connected more at Christian Assembly, simply scan the code on the screen. This will give you information about the life of our church, such as weekend service times, special events, life groups, kids church, youth, and so much more. Thanks for watching, and may God bless you as you do.
Well, if you're a visitor guest, my name is Tom, and what an honor and a privilege to have you here with us. And of course, to my CA family, great to be with you as well. I also want to greet all of you who are joining us online. Also, those of you at the 1115 South service, great to be with you as well. I love you, church. I pray for you every single day. I'm so proud of you and how God is at work in your life, the joy and really the fellowship we get to experience together with God and one another is an honor. Well, I want to update you. Last Sunday, we sponsored, it was one of 3 days in 2024 that we sponsored the YouVersion Bible app. And so wanted to share with you, we prayed in our services that God's word would go forward. And so the YouVersion team sent me some statistics of what happened just on Sunday whenever we sponsored the app. Because the app, just so you know, there's no ads on it. It's not nobody who like contributes like any devotional material. Like you don't get paid if you do that. You're just like, I have stuff up there. You just give it as part of the overall cause. And so it's really just funded by people who are saying, hey, I want to be part of helping God's word be available to everyone everywhere. And we're part of that. And so here's what happened on Sunday. 15.7 million people opened up the app. There were 479,000 installs. So people who were like, I'm putting this on my phone. I'm putting it on my iPad. You can see there that there were people from every single country on planet Earth that opened the app on Sunday, the day that we sponsored it. Also, you'll see there that a little over 1,400 languages, people engaged with different translations and different devotional materials from 1,400 different languages. And then lastly, over 1.8 million Bible verses were shared. And the team shared with me that was the second highest number of verses that had been shared in a 24-hour period throughout all of 2024. So they were like, man, it's amazing that happened. And so we have one more day that we are going to be sponsoring. It's December 25th. It's kind of a day on planet Earth, Christmas Day. And I just want to encourage you. Now, this is a huge project. I mean, one day costs $137,000 for one day. But when you look at the numbers of people who are opening up the app, it's less than a penny per person that we're impacting. And so if you gave a penny at some point to CA, back to God through CA, you help someone open up God's word somewhere on planet Earth. If you gave $100, you help 10,000 people on planet Earth open up God's word. And honestly, I don't know that there's a better way to get people into God's word in terms of the efficiency, the reach, the scope, and the scale. In fact, one of the things the team told me when we were meeting on Tuesday was that currently they have little over 800 million current installs on planet Earth. And they think by next November, they're going to cross the threshold of 1 billion people on planet Earth who have downloaded the app and are using the app. And we get to be part of it. So thank you for giving back to God. Yeah, we can applaud what God's doing. Well, May 2013, New York City, the largest Lego model ever built was unveiled. It required more than 5.3 million Lego bricks. And before I tell you what it was, get your guess in your mind. What do you think would be the largest Lego model ever built? 5.3 million Lego bricks. Here it is. There's going to be a picture. It was a life-size Star Wars X-Wing fighter. Those are real people. There's somebody actually sitting in it. They had it complete with an R2-D2 in it. Its wingspan was 44 feet. It weighed 46,000 pounds. It took 32 professional master builders over 17,000 man hours to build it. Now think about this for a moment. If you are going to build something remarkable, it takes true leadership and vision, and then it takes teamwork and it takes unity. And the greatest visionary, the greatest leader, the greatest builder of all time is Jesus Christ. And yet there's only one thing that he promised that he would build, which was his church. And what's so remarkable to me is that Jesus, he invites each one of us to become part of his team, to follow him and to be a united team across genders, across generations, across ethnicities, across nations, to each do our individual and unique part to be part of his vision. Well, last week, we launched a brand new series about Jesus inviting each one of us to find and fulfill our place in his mission. And God's vision and his mission for the church is really built upon two pillars. The first is the great commandment, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And the second is the great commission, when Jesus said, all authority under heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go therefore into all the nations. That word nations, it's where we get our word ethnicity from. In the Greek, it's go into all the ethnos. Go into all the ethnoses, all the ethnicities, all the nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. So God's vision and his mission is always the same, and yet it is ever changing because you have a unique story of how God wants to use you in his mission. And so as you come to Christ, and as you live out the gospel in your real relational radius with your real neighbors that you really know, God uses you in a unique way, just like an individual Lego brick in that building, in that X-Wing fighter. Each Lego brick mattered in the whole, and you have your part, and God has prepared in advance a specific and unique way for you to make a contribution. We saw last week that in this church that Jesus is building, that everyone is welcome. So who are you inviting? We saw that everyone is needed. So how are you serving? That everyone is contributing. So how are you giving? And that everyone is changed. So how are you growing? This week, we're going to look at five things that we are going to commit together as a church family. It's really not a new commitment. I'm just making it clear once again that this is who we are as a church family. This is what we agree to do. Five things that we will do to be part of Jesus' mission. And then the one thing that God will do if we do the first five things together. So we're going to consider that. But before we do, let's pray. God, I thank you that you are faithful and you are good. You are a God of joy and righteousness, of justice, of love. We thank you that you are reaching people all around the planet with your word and that we get to be part of it. We ask that you would reach us now, online, Sunday morning, 11:15 South, gathered here in this gathering as well. That, Lord, your word everywhere for everyone is for us right here, right now as well. So would you speak to us about how you want each of us to come to know you and then find our place in your mission to fulfill your vision for the only thing you ever said you're going to build, which is your church. In Jesus' name, amen. On your way, and hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, you can flip it open to the center section. You'll see the teaching notes that are there, as well as the scriptures that we will be jumping into as we go. So five things we must commit ourselves to together as a church family, but also individually. We're saying, hey, I'm going to be part of this, to find our place in God's mission. The very first thing is that we will stay connected to Christ. We will stay connected to Christ. John 15:5, Jesus is speaking. And he says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Every day, every Christian has to decide again whether we actually believe that or not. And if I do, then I begin every day with prayer and God's word and worship and connecting to and abiding in God's love for me and connecting with Christ. But if I don't believe that, then I rush off thinking that, quote, I have more urgent things to do. I want to encourage us that the most urgent thing for us to do is to have a fruitful, faithful life. And so that means that the most urgent thing for us to do is to abide in God's word and in his love. And so then that means that the most urgent and important thing for us to do is to begin each day seated at the feet of Jesus. In fact, in John 15, Jesus promises that if we abide in him and his words, that we will see fruit, more fruit, much fruit, lasting fruit, and personal joy. Like if I told you that there was a seminar you could take where you would get fruit, more fruit, much fruit, lasting fruit, and personal joy, and it was guaranteed to come to you if you went and were in this seminar, you would be like, hey, sign me up. Like, I want to be there. And that's available to you every single day as you come to Jesus. Now, your assignment, my assignment, might be different in the kingdom and what God wants to do in and through your life. But your assignment and my assignment start from the same place. They start from abiding, seated at the feet of Jesus, welcoming his words, and praying to the Father in Jesus' name. In fact, YouVersion, you might wonder, like, how did we get connected to YouVersion and why are we doing that? I had gone on a walk. I walk sometimes the Roseville just for exercise, like all the rest of LA when I'm there. It's like 24 hours a day. There's somebody walking the Roseville loop, it seems. And so I was walking and I was praying and I was saying, Lord, how might we as a church family accelerate the Great Commission? And best I can tell you is I sense the Lord say, I want you to call YouVersion and talk to them about CA sponsoring some days. So I call them, we get in a conversation. They're like, hey, just so you know, you are the first local church on the planet that has ever called us and said, you want to do this. And so when they came on Tuesday, they were like, hey, we went and walked the Rose Bowl because we wanted to be on the ground where God did this. And now what they're doing is that they're going around inviting other churches around the entire globe to begin to partner with them. Churches in Brazil have already said we're in. Churches in Australia have already said they're in. Other churches in the U.S. have already said that they're in. And all of it came from just simply staying connected to Jesus. God has something that he wants to speak to you. So you staying connected to Jesus is the first thing you must do in order to find your place in his mission. The second thing is this, is that together we will do anything short of sin to reach lost people for Christ. Why? Because people matter to God. Which people matter to God? All people. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth saying this in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, for though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all so that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel so that I may share in its blessing. Our mission here as a church family called Christian Assembly is that God's grace compels us to lead spiritually convinced and unconvinced people to complete commitment to Jesus Christ. So then, if this church is your home, I want you to pray about how you're living out that mission. That's not just my mission. That mission statement was written before I ever came here. It's our mission together. Who do you know that is spiritually convinced, but maybe not actively following Christ? I promise you, you know someone. Did you know that 2/3 of the people in Los Angeles County claim to be Christians? 6.8 million people in our county claim to be Christians. And yet, the reality is they're saying, look, I'm spiritually convinced, but if you sit with some of them and say, well, what does it look like? Like, how are you actively following Jesus? They're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know how to do that. I believe, but I'm not following. And then when you sit and you say, well, just so you know, the Bible says even the demons believe and shudder. So you're like on par with the demons at this point. So you want to take a step further, just so you know, like in your followership. And what I find when I talk to people who are in that category, they want to, but they don't know how. They're like, nobody's ever even talked to me about this. Nobody's ever even invited me. Look, the reality is that you know someone, I promise you, who would say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but they're not actively following Christ. So they're spiritually convinced already, but you are the person that God is going to use to lead them to greater and even complete commitment to Jesus Christ. Or who do you know that's spiritually unconvinced? I bet you know someone. They need someone to graciously share the good news with them and point them to Christ. And if you are a Christian and you know somebody who is not a Christian, then you can assume that you are the person that God wants to use to speak to them, to reach out to them, to pray for them. Jesus said to his disciples in John 20, verse 21, he said, peace be with you, and as the Father has sent me, so I now send you. In other words, there is no such thing as an unsent Christian. If you're a Christian, what you're saying is, I'm sent. God is sending me to people around me. If you're a Christian, you're sent. To who? Who are you sent? Start with those you already know. Do anything short of sin to reach them for Christ and then lead them to complete commitment to Christ. The third thing we will do is this, is that we will be faithful and generous with what we have. As we grow in commitment to Christ, we grow in generosity. That always happens. Why? Because we come to know and trust Jesus' words. For example, he says in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. It won't even fit into the container you have. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Now, if you read those words and if you take them seriously, they are shocking words. And they are countercultural. To be honest, they don't even always make sense on an Excel spreadsheet. And yet, faithful generosity is one of the action steps that each one of us must commit ourselves to in order to fulfill our unique place in God's mission. And also, just so you know, it's not about the amount you give. To understand biblical generosity, it is always about the proportion and the faith with which you give it. Luke 21, verse 1, Jesus looked up and he saw rich people putting their gifts in the treasury. But he also saw a poor widow, and she put 2 small copper coins in. And he said, truly, I tell you, that poor widow has put in more than all of them, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she gave out of her poverty and has put in all that she had to live on. Like, her faith was actually greater. Her contribution was actually greater. On an Excel spreadsheet, it might not look that way, but in God's economy, it is that way. Now, you might think, well, is my little bit going to make a difference? I don't know that my little bit make a difference. I promise you that it does. First, it makes a difference because giving, it grows our trust in Jesus. Jesus says, look where your money is, there your heart will be also. You might be thinking, well, I just gave a penny. Is my little penny going to make a difference? Yeah, your little penny could be the penny that helps somebody on planet Earth open up God's word last Sunday. It could be your penny that helped that person in Brazil, that person in Vietnam, that person in Indonesia do that. Your little bit matters. My little bit matters. Plus, you never know what God might do with your faithful generosity. Case in point, true story. Hattie Mae Wyatt, she was 6 years old in 1883. She lived in Philadelphia near a church called Grace Baptist Church. Locally, the church was known as the Temple, is what they would call it because of how the building looked. And so she was invited by a friend to Sunday school, but they got to the Sunday school. It was very crowded. There weren't enough seats for everyone. And so the pastor, the guy's name was Russell Conwell, told Hattie, because she said, you know, it's so crowded, like there's not even a seat for me and for my friends, you know, if I want to bring anybody else. And the pastor said to this little six-year-old, he said, well, I hope one day we'll have enough, you know, to be able to build buildings big enough to allow everyone to attend. And she said to him, I hope you will too. It's so crowded that I'm afraid to go there alone. He replied, when we get the money, we will construct a room large enough and buildings large enough to let all the children in. A little over a year later, sadly, Hattie Mae died of diphtheria. So she's about 7 years old when she died. After the funeral, Hattie's mother gave the pastor a little bag of money that they had found under her daughter's pillow whenever they were cleaning up her room after the funeral, and it contained 57 cents of change that she had saved up. And inside the bag with the 57 cents in Hattie's handwriting was a note that said, to help build a bigger church so that more children can go to Sunday school. So the mom who's grieving gives this to the pastor. The pastor changed the 57 cents into pennies, and he offered each penny for sale. And each penny was bought by people who wanted to be part of Hattie's vision. And so he received $250 from people buying the pennies. And by the way, 54 of the 57 pennies were also returned. The $250 itself was then also changed into pennies and sold by the newly formed Hattie Wyatt Society. And in this way, a cycle began where her original 57 cents, secretly saved under the pillow, kept on multiplying. 25 years later, now it's 1912, the pastor gave a talk entitled The History of the 57 Cents, sharing the results of the little girl's 57 cent donation. Here's what happened. The church did, in fact, build larger facilities to welcome any child who wanted to come to Sunday school so that they could do so. And as word of Hattie's story spread, people came to check out the church, and the church grew to 5,600 people every weekend. The church started a school that became a college that became a university known as Temple University, where by 1912, 80,000 young people had gone through the university, including 2,000 people who had been trained and sent out to preach the gospel. And by the way, Temple University still exists today in Philadelphia. They have 40,000 students enrolled this year. The church also started a hospital that became known as Temple Health, where by 1912, tens of thousands of people had been treated. Today, Temple Health, they average 341,000 outpatient visits per year. Last year, they had 34,000 people admitted to their hospital network for care, and they had 165,000 emergency room visits. All of that from a six-year-old with 57 cents. Little Hattie Mae's Wyatt's faith, it challenges me. Like, she was committed to doing her part. and trusting God to take her offering and do more than what she could imagine. And that's the vision of who I want to be. And I believe it's the vision that God is inviting all of us to be, that Jesus wants all of us to be. And by the way, I just want to say, CA, well done. Well done in being faithful and generous. But I also want to call each and every one of us to renew our hearts and vision again this weekend to say our little part matters. And God is doing amazing things both in our church and through our church. And we all need to be part of it. We all need to say, I'm going to do my part. Because like the two faithful servants in the parable that Jesus told, or the parable of the talents, my goal and hope is that everyone who would call Christian Assembly home would one day hear from the Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. So now I'm going to put you in charge of many things, and I want you to enter into the joy of your master. The fourth thing we see is this, is that we will accomplish more together than alone. When Jesus sent his disciples out on mission, he sent them out two by two. There is a power of not only going out on mission, but being on mission together. You think of Hattie Mae's Wyatt's story. She was only 6 years old, and God used her 57 cents, her faith and her heart, but he also used the heart of the pastor and the other members of the congregation and a whole bunch of others who wanted to be part of it to bring about the results together. We each have our individual and unique place and responsibilities to play to find our part in God's mission. If you don't make your unique kingdom contribution, no one else can do it for you. But also there's a God-given power in gospel-centered, humble partnerships. In the church in Acts, we read in Acts 4, verse 34, it says, there was not a needy person among them. For as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. It reminds me of the early days of the pandemic when we ran a drive-through pantry, and many of you will remember that. I mean, I felt like I was running like a Chick-fil-A or like an In-N-Out or something. I mean, we had nights where we'd have 700 cars come through. I mean, it was like the cops were coming by. I'm like, yeah, go direct traffic for us. Like, this is, I mean, it was amazing to see what was occurring. And it was prayer and pantry, and, you know, we gave food to anybody. But we're like, hey, if you want to be prayed for. And I remember one night I was standing there, and I was just hearing languages be shouted, like Korean, Armenian, Vietnamese, Spanish, and somebody who spoke that language would go over and pray for the people in that car in the language that they spoke. And it was amazing. And they would pop their trunk, and somebody would put bags of groceries in their trunk, because you all literally gave thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of bags of groceries to help those who were in need. And because of your generosity, we not only did that, but on top of that, we gave over $100,000 of grocery gift cards away to those in legitimate need in our church family. They had lost their job. They didn't have saving. They didn't know where they were going to get money to eat. And we kind of sat and talked with them and worked through it. And so we made a commitment as a leadership team, because we knew what God wanted, that no one would go hungry in our church family. And no one did, because of what God did through our church family together. Now, to be clear, just so we are all clear on this, the early church was generous, but not naive. Was generous, but not foolish. So they had to sort through people who would try to take advantage of their generosity, which is why they also had this rule in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 and on. It says this, "For even when we are with you, we gave you this command. Anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living." So God gives us wisdom on how to appropriately be generous to those who have legitimate needs without allowing other people's illegitimate requests to cloud the issue. across the Gospels and into the early church in Acts, we see this principle of people doing their individual best, but also recognizing that God does some of his best work when we come together, we serve together, we contribute together rather than just alone. The fifth thing we need to do is we will stay united. Jesus said that he would build his church, and then he prays for his followers. In John 17, verse 20, he says, I ask not on behalf of these, not only on behalf of these, speaking of the original disciples, but I also ask on behalf of all those who will ever believe in me through their word. So now he's praying for you and I. If you're a follower of Jesus, we believe through the word of the original disciples, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory that you've given me, I have given them. That's like a radical statement. The glory that God the Father gave Jesus, he's given to us. And here's why: so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. A divided world needs to see a united church. Jesus prayed, and Jesus wants us united. Satan wants us divided. And Jesus' prayer indicates that somehow our oneness is connected to the fact that the world will then believe that the Father sent Jesus. So Jesus' vision for the church, his prayer for the church, is that we're one. Notice he prays that we're one, but not the same. And that's an important thing to understand. He prays that we would be united, but not uniform. Because he's gathering people of every tribe and every tongue and every nation. He's gathering men and women. He's gathering young and old. He's gathering every generation. In fact, the only thing that you might have in common with someone else in the church is that you're both followers of Jesus Christ. And yet, I'll tell you this. If you are leaning in and committed to Christ and they are leaning in and committed to Christ, you will actually have more in common with them than your biological family member who wants nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus says, who's my family? It's those who desire to know and do the will of God. The reality is that the church is the largest, most diverse group of people on the planet today, and also in history. So we can't just count on our social affinity to keep us united. To stay united will require us to keep learning to forgive one another, to love one another afresh, across the generations, across the ethnicities, across the nationalities, across the genders, and more. The gospel is not only the power to save us, it is the power to make us one in Christ. And Jesus, His prayer includes this stunning line. He says, the glory that you've given me, I've given them, so they may be one as we're one, Father. So Jesus has given us glory. That word means light. Not so that we can levitate or do parlor tricks. He's given us the glory so that we can be one. If we're going to each find our place in God's mission, we must each do our part to stay united. Loving, forgiving, serving, humbling ourselves, confessing sin to one another, praying for one another, welcoming one another as we've been welcomed in Christ. So the five things that we must do to find our place in God's mission: we stay connected to Christ every day in worship, in his word, and in prayer. We do anything short of sin to reach lost people for Christ. We will be faithful and generous with what God has entrusted to our stewardship. We will trust that we can do more together than alone. And fifth, we will stay united. But if we do those five things, what is the one thing that God will do with our five things? If we do those five things, here's the one thing that we can expect God to do. God will use our efforts to make a difference beyond what we can imagine. That's what we're promised in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever and amen. I think of Hattie Mae Wyatt. In the final summation of the kingdom, I think of that little 7-year-old girl getting to see and learn all the ways that God used her faith and generosity to do things that she never could have imagined. Like, she was asking for a bigger Sunday school room, and God's like, okay, got you on that, and much more. And we can think, well, man, I wish I was in Philadelphia in the late 1800s. I wish I got to be part of that. But the reality is that God wants to write fresh stories out of your life and my life as well. And I believe that as we do those 5 things, God will do the one thing that we could never do. He'll use our efforts to make a difference beyond what we could ever imagine. That God's power is at work within us to accomplish not just far more and not just abundantly more, but abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine. And CA, I want to tell you that I see God's power at work within you. And from my perspective, he is doing abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine. In fact, many of you might remember last Thanksgiving weekend, the weekend prior to Thanksgiving, we gave out a magazine called Overflow. If you didn't get one, we have a few copies left. You can grab them out in the lobby. And it had tons of stories of changed lives from the previous 12 months. And so many of you were like, this is great. I love this. And we decided to do another volume for this year, which we're in the final editing stages on now. And you'll get that copy the weekend prior to Thanksgiving as well. And it is filled with all new, fresh testimonies of how God has been at work through you. In our city, in our neighborhood, and far more than we could ever ask or imagine. 21 years ago, we had 3 kingdom partnerships. 1 was local and 2 were international. Over the last 21 years, God has taken our prayers, our serving, our generosity, and our little 57 cents, so to speak, and has turned it into 49 current kingdom partnerships. 33 of them are right here in Los Angeles. The other 16 are international, and they're functioning in 28 different countries, reaching 35 unreached people groups. So what's happening through these partnerships? I'll tell you, the lost are hearing the gospel in word and deed. At-risk kids are being mentored. The gospel is being preached on high school campuses and on college campuses. Foster care children are being helped. People who used to live on the streets of Los Angeles are now no longer living on the streets. They're graduating from gospel-centered programs to help them stay off the streets. Women with crisis pregnancies are being helped. The drug addicted are getting free. The persecuted church is being helped. People are receiving clean water. People who had no access to God's word are now getting access to God's word. Churches are being planted in LA and in Africa. The sick are being cared for and even healed. The fatherless are being helped. Muslims are hearing the gospel and coming to Christ. People in communist countries are hearing the gospel and coming to Christ. And the list could go on. It's not just Hattie Mae Wyatt's story. It's our story too. And it's not just our story in the past. There are fresh stories of what God is preparing to do as we step forward. Together, connected in Christ, willing to do anything short of sin to reach lost people. Ready to be faithful and generous with our 57 cents. Ready to do it together and to be united. And to each and every one of us, let's all find our place in God's mission. And together, let's watch what he will do first in us, and then he will do through us. And I can promise you that if we each do our part, he will indeed be able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And let the church say, amen. Let's pray. Lord, I'm just so overwhelmed by all that the good plans you want to do in us and through us. And Lord, we thank you now for what you've done in each one of our lives. For those of you who are believers, I pray and I invite you to pray now that you'd stay connected to Christ in his word and prayer and worship every day. The most urgent thing you can do. Apart from him, you can do nothing. that every day you would look for opportunities, short of sin, to reach lost people for Christ. That every day you'd be faithful and generous with what God has entrusted to you. And every day we would trust that we will accomplish more together than alone. And every day we will stay united in confession, in prayer, humbling ourselves, learning how to be reconciled with one another. We've already seen that God is at work in you to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. But Lord, we now ask, would we be so bold to say, would you keep doing it? We would ask that you would not be done with us, that we wouldn't just tell stories of what you've done in the past or even what you've done just recently, but that you would birth in us fresh stories of what you want to do, that you would put in us fresh strength, times of renewing with you, for each one of us to do our part, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to give you the opportunity to do that now, whether you're online or whether you're gathered here or at the 1115 South. You were created for a relationship with God. Male and female, he created us. Sin entered the world. We all freely have participated in sin. Your sin might be different than mine, but the wages of sin is death. And yet the free gift of God that is offered to us in Jesus Christ is eternal life. Eternal both in quality, eternal both in quantity. And so how do we access this gospel, this good news, this grace? Well, it's made available to us because Jesus not only taught us, but he went and he died on the cross so that the record of your sin could be forgiven before the heavenly courts, and my sin could be forgiven. And he died, and then on the third day he rose again. He showed himself with many convincing proofs to over 500 people. He eventually ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he is seated, and he is praying for you even now. Your faith is in something. I invite you to place your faith in Jesus Christ. He alone is the only name under heaven by which we can be saved. He alone is the one that can lead you into the abundant life. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. People sometimes say, well, if I commit to Christ, I'm afraid I'm going to miss out. Well, what you should be afraid of is that you're missing out on what God's plans are for you while you waste the precious time he's given you. Don't miss out. Make today the day you cross the line of faith. How do you do that? You just say, God, I'm saying yes to you. I'm trusting that you'll hear my prayers. And I want to be one of your followers. Forgive me of my sin. I turn away from them. Give me a new spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a love for your word, that I might be one of your followers now and forevermore, and do all that you'd want me to do, compelled by your grace. If you said yes to God for the very first time, let me know or one of the other pastors. If you're online, call the church and we'll send you a New Believer's New Testament. If you're here in person, we'll get you a New Believer's New Testament. And so God, I pray that you would bless and keep your people this week, that you'd make your face shine upon them, that you would give them your peace, that they would hear your vision in their heart, they would know their part on your mission, they would step forward in bold courage and do it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.